I think I'll just talk to the man himself. He is a senior writer for CBS Sports. You've also heard him on the CBS Eye on College Basketball podcast. He is live from San Antonio, the site of the 2018 Final Four. Matt Norlander is my guest. Matt, good morning. Good to have you back. How are you?
Jim Rome, it's wonderful to be with you. San Antonio is gorgeous. Very much looking forward to what I hope can be a dramatic, close, fantastic wraps the 2017-2018 college basketball season.
You know, Matt, you and me both, let me ask you this. One game left in the tourney. How has that city of San Antonio been treating you as a Final Four host?
You know what? It's been great. And this is my first trip here. And if you haven't been to San Antonio, first of all, it's the seventh most populated city in America, which I had no idea. So it's bigger than people realize. But it's got a great intimacy with the Riverwalk and the downtown scene, and because you can walk to so much stuff. See, this is a big time thing, I think, with college basketball, college football, the pro sports. I know the Super Bowl is always one central location, so you can identify with this, Jim, but it's so critical to enhancing the experience for fan bases and media and everyone that comes to cover these things. If you can have things that are simply that are walkable and in warm weather, I honestly, New Orleans, San Antonio, and Indianapolis, the three classic walkable Final Four cities, that should be the rotation. I know all the NFL media wants it in what, LA, New Orleans, Miami each year. This is what we feel on the college hoop side. It's been fantastic, and I hope we don't wait a decade to come back here. San Antonio is a great town.
Matt Norlander joining us. I've been to all the spots that you mentioned for those events, and you're so right. It's easy to get around. It makes sense. And that makes perfect sense to me, too. Now, Matt, Michigan was down double digits to Loyola in the second half. They battle all the way back. They win. So let me start right there. What did John Beilein's team show you and how they played in that second half, especially given the fact that two of their key guys did not have great games?
You know what? Mo Wagner he picked a great time to have the best game of his career, and he was critical. And it was a mismatch for Loyola. We knew that going in. But the defense was so critical, Jim. I mean, at one point, Loyola had five straight turnovers on consecutive possessions. That really flipped the game. And for the defense to step up the way that it did, and by the way, held Loyola Chicago to 10 three-point attempts, only made one of them. Michigan is extremely good at that. So as you watch the game tonight, and Villanova is this Voltron of offense. I mean, they're ridiculous. Obviously, now you got people calling them the Golden State Warriors of college basketball. And that's fair in a lot of respects. When you watch this game, see how frequently, one, Villanova gets what it wants from deep, or if Michigan can impede that. And if not, here's the thing. As we saw, Jim, with Boston, I was there. Texas Tech dirtied that game up against Villanova, didn't let them get anything. They got four three-pointers on 20 attempts. Villanova does not need to shoot 35 times from three-point range in order to win. So while Michigan's scheme against Loyola was critical in sort of flipping that game in the second half and making that big run, that was big time. Michigan simply, you know, if you tell me right now that Villanova only takes 18 three-point shots tonight and they make five of them, I'm not going to tell you that means Michigan wins, because Villanova's too good outside in, and they've got a pair of really good bigs, Eric Paschal and Omari Spellman, versus Michigan's one really good big and Mo Wagner. So that's why it's going to be such a challenge for Michigan tonight.
Matt Norlander joining us. He's live in San Antonio. Hey, Matt, one more thought about Villanova. I mean, they make it look so easy when obviously it's not so easy. As you watch them, what are the key elements to the way they play that makes them so good?
This is almost, Jim, it's almost so simple to the point of being frustratingly trite, but they only run five or six sets. They're very free. They're guilt-free in how they distribute the ball and how they shoot it. And no one gets frustrated, any of the guys on the roster, any of the coaches, if they wind up taking a bad shot, which almost never happens. They have an unending confidence in how they can move the ball, shoot the ball, and keep going. And the stuff that they run is relatively simple, but you kind of can't stop it. It's really fascinating to see a team like that. And the biggest reason why that's possible, it's because they have so many veterans on the team. There's so many guys on this roster who were redshirts, so they've got one additional year of experience. So that's why at any point, like, I don't think we'll get to this point tonight, Jim, but let's say we've got about 10 minutes to go in the second half, and Michigan is up 58-52, and they've looked good. You and I both know that Villanova is able to rip off 13-2 runs like they just got out of bed. It's fascinating to watch. They're so fun to watch. And overall, it's funny to me when we think about Jim heading into the 2016 tournament before Villanova won over North Carolina at the buzzer. the rep on Villanova was, yeah, they always get a top one, top two seed, but this team is a paper tiger. They're not worth anything. They're so overrated. The Big East is overrated. And now we're talking about them. Honestly, this five-year run they're on, they have a case as the best program in college basketball over the past half decade. It's amazing what one national championship and a push to a second will do for your reputation.
Matt Norlander joining us. Matt, stay right there. And to your point about the run, you know they're going to make a run. They're always going to make that run. Loyola looked like they were in control. But this is, when you look at Villanova, they win their second national championship in 3 years if they win tonight. We're talking about a guy who's won 30 games or more 4 years in a row in Jay Wright. I mean, what's that say about Jay Wright as a coach and the program that he has right now?
Well, one, he could be headed to the Hall of Fame no matter what. But you win 2 in 3 years, you become, I believe, one of only 8 coaches ever to do that, to get 2 titles in a 3-year span, and to do it with a National Player of the Year, which, by the way, it's happened, but that's not a common thing. You know, in the history of the NCAA tournament going back to 1939, we've only had, I think, about 10 or 11 instances where you've had the National Player of the Year also win the national championship. So it says something about Jay Wright and his recruiting and his coaches and how they've been able to get to a point where they have a guy like Brunson, have so much around him. Here's what's nuts about Jay Wright. Jalen Brunson's the National Player of the Year. He could have a subpar game tonight at point guard, and Villanova could still win by double digits because of how dangerous Omari Spellman, a stretch big, who's their most accurate three-point shooter, he could go off. Mikal Bridges, kind of a quiet game on Saturday. And to be honest, I think he's going to be pretty freaking good tonight. I think he's due for a fantastic performance. So when you have a player of the year at point guard and he could have a subpar game, which isn't going to happen, but and you know that you can still beat arguably the other hottest team in the country over the past 5 weeks, it's incredible. Jay Wright overall, if he does this, kind of a lingering thought, Jim, like does he opt to say, you know what, this is where I want to be. I'm going to be at Villanova forever. I'm going to do, you know, just stick it out here, become the Mike Krzyzewski affiliate of this program, or will he have accomplished and done so much where, you know, this year, next year, will any NBA franchises come knocking on his door again and say, hey, listen, you're still young. You've done so well here. We love the stuff you run. Do you want to give it a go at the NBA level? To me, that's a fascinating plot line moving forward, regardless of what happens.
I was going to say, Matt, it's rhetorical, certainly, but what do you think about that? I mean, yeah, I can't see him leaving the job that he has right now, not when he's looking at a second national championship in 3 years. I mean, for who? For what? For money, I guess, maybe, but there's got to be a higher calling. There's got to be a mission. Does he strike you as a guy that wants to test himself on the next level? Does he seem like a guy who might want to take a shot at the NBA?
I think that he definitely would be intrigued by that. I think Jay Wright is in an awesome position for himself in that he's got the ultimate job security. I mean, how many guys, Mike Krzyzewski, Roy Williams, John Calipari, maybe those are the three that have more job security at the college level than Jay Wright right now, and you might even be able to make a case that he's right there with Krzyzewski. But so does he want to do that, or does he want to say, you know what, like, why not? How many times in your life can you say you have an option if someone comes knocking to coach at the NBA level? College basketball would be bettered if you had a guy like Jay Wright. He's obviously very media savvy, and his programs have done so well. And it's huge for the Big East. You know, it's been a top three league. If you look at the metrics that track this kind of stuff, Jim, the Big East has adapted so well after college football forced conference realignment and the Big East into a 10-team league. It's huge for that league that Villanova has been as good as it has been. And he's established the program at the very top shelf in college basketball. If he wants to stay there and keep it like that, I think he would still find satisfaction in that. But there's no doubt about it. There are more challenges out there if he wants to take them. We'll have to wait and see.
Matt Norlander joining us for another moment or so. He is live in San Antonio gearing up for the championship game tonight. Matt, before you go, try and make an argument for Michigan. What does Michigan need to do in order to win tonight?
My argument for Michigan is this, and I was talking with the staff yesterday about this. So Loyola Chicago obviously is not – it's not a clone, pun intended, I guess, of Villanova, but it's similar. Pace and space, they pass the ball so well, they take good shots, and they wait to take their good shots. Villanova, kind of Loyola on steroids a bit, and even Beilein was saying, listen, it was good that we faced Loyola because that was a great prep for Villanova. And Michigan held, again, they held them to 10 three-pointers, was able to make a run in the second half. So from a scheme and prep standpoint, at least Michigan has been – in this mindset and this quick turnaround isn't going to be a jolt to the senses just in terms of the stuff Villanova runs. And again, They only run about 5 or 6 sets, so they don't have a lot of homework, a lot of book cramming, so to speak. So if you want to make a case for Michigan, they'll have that ready, and they have Wagner. He's such a great player overall. I think that Charles Matthews athletically can match up with just about anyone on the floor for Villanova. That's an encouraging sign, and you have to believe, if you're a Michigan fan, that Xavier Simpson, who had a bad game on Saturday, he's not going to be that bad again. You're able to win if you're Michigan, despite the fact that he did not play well against Loyola Chicago. If he plays a little bit better, you've got the number 3 ranked defense in the country, you've got a shot. And this is the first time, Jim, just in terms of prepping for this game, the last time we had a top 3 team on offense play a top 3 team on defense, according to KenPom in the national title game, Michigan was involved. That was 2013, but it was a script flip. Back then, Michigan had the number 1 offense. Louisville had the number 1 defense. Defense won out in that game. We got to see if that'll happen tonight.
We have to see about tonight. That game is in San Antonio, this championship game. And this time of year, Matt, it's always about guard play. People always talk about guard play, understandably so. But to your point, I love the matchup of the bigs. Mo Wagner had that huge game against Loyola, but Villanova's bigs were insane against Kansas. So that, to me, is going to be a key matchup as well this evening. Matt Norlander live in San Antonio. Matt, great job down there. Have a great night tonight, and I know we'll do it again soon. Appreciate it so much.
Always appreciate it, Jim. Thank you so much. Enjoy the game.
You got it, Matt. Have a great night. Matt Norlander hyping up San Antonio as well, his first time back there. They can put on the Final Four.